Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Powerful winds, hot temperatures, and dry brush are fanning the flames of a massive wildfire northwest of Los Angeles. This man lives in Santa Clarita.
It's been really smoky. You can smell it really bad. Like, it's right down the street.
At least 1,200 people have been evacuated. So far, no homes damaged. A heat wave is setting in Midwest to Northeast. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
Basically, from the Ohio River Valley to the Northeast, we are seeing record temperatures all throughout the week.
A tactical respite paving the way for more aid to flow into central Gaza. CBS's Chris Livesay reports from Tel Aviv.
The pause of the fighting falls short of the ceasefire, but if the pause holds, it could at least address some of the overwhelming needs of Gazans surging in recent weeks as Israeli forces target the remaining Hamas brigades in Rafah.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Sapp. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Mercury Marine is laying off 252 workers in Fond du Lac and making what it calls workforce adjustments at its other facilities. The job cuts will happen on July 26th. The company blames low sales. Mercury Marine is the biggest employer in Fond du Lac County. A U.S. police officer on January 6th says Donald Trump is unfit to be president. Harry Dunn is now campaigning for President Biden. He tells Civic Media's Earl Ingram that Trump's recent felony convictions should also disqualify him.
As a convicted felon, he's no longer able to possess firearms, but that's all right. He has the code to the nuclear weapon. Another individual may be disqualified from a job because they're a felon. He's now running on the fact that he is convicted.
Dunn campaigned for Biden in Madison on Thursday and Eau Claire on Friday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Brewers head west. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a series against the Angels in Anaheim tonight. On Thursday, they play the Padres. 7 games in 7 days. Center fielder Blake Perkins.
Yeah, very busy road trip. I feel like we got 10, 12 guys who are from California, so it's going to be a lot of family and friends, so trying to have to balance that with winning every day.
Perkins with a spectacular throw from center to home plate to end yesterday with a 5-4 win over the Reds. Manager Pat Murphy.
We're not great, but that's the way you play championship ball, you know what I mean? We got thrown out the first stolen base. What did we do? Kept running. That's just kind of like an attitude.
NBA Finals Game 5 tonight in Boston. The Celtics up 3-1 after losing by 38 points Friday in Dallas. Drew Holiday.
I think it's a little bit of everything. I think it's tactical. I think it's mental, being a more tested team. But I think it's about locking in for another battle in Game 5.
That's the Celtics' Drew Holiday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
This broad reaching, well, we can't help people because we can't control how they spend the money, somehow magically doesn't apply to billionaires, doesn't apply to corporations who dodge their taxes every year. The only people who are subject to the conservative morality police are poor people. How dare you?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Coming up on the show, Maggie's back in the saddle, and we talk about Biden's top 100. This week, we're talking about the environment.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, 88 our high. Slight chance of an afternoon storm. Partly cloudy, 72 tonight. Mostly sunny to the mid-80s on your Tuesday. Wednesday, sunshine with a high near 86. Again, an afternoon storm. For Thursday, mostly sunny and 81.
Currently, 69 degrees.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise?
Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's, like, testosterone and overload and whatever, testosterone.
Nightlight with Peach Wabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee Journal Sentinel music critic Piet Levy, who joins the show to discuss all things Summerfest. We will also discuss the resurgence of the summer box office.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Good morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you, filling in for Farm Director Pam Yonke. I hope you enjoyed the weekend and had a chance to celebrate the father figures in your life. My dad thought it was a little unfair that he had to pick up the dinner bill on his special day, but he took it like a champ. The temperatures really picked up yesterday, and even at around 1 a.m. on the way to the studio this morning, I needed to have the air conditioner blasting. Nighttime did not bring any relief from the humidity. We're looking at temperatures between 80 and 90 degrees this week. Today in the Madison area, expect highs of 91 with partly cloudy skies. If we move east toward Lake Michigan, you're looking at highs of 92 and a chance of a stray thunderstorm. The western side of the state by La Crosse will be a bit cooler at 84 degrees, and that's because the rain is likely to be falling. Stu Muck will have more of those forecast details in less than 15 minutes. Also this morning, the June Dairy Month celebrations continue. We'll hear from Charity Seebecker about how Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin raises awareness of the goodness of milk. Remember, if you are looking for a June Dairy Month breakfast or other celebratory event, you can find them at wisconsindairy.org. As you're listening this morning, don't forget to give us a like and a follow on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report or on Instagram at MWF Report. We'd love to have you following along with us before and after the show as well. The fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke, is up next. Stick around.
We know that agriculture involves stress on pretty much a daily basis, and we want to talk about how you can not only recognize what stress is doing to you and those around you, but also maybe help mitigate some of that. I'm welcoming in my friend, Jess Beauchamp. She is the coordinator, the voice that you are here, a major resource for farmers and farm families all across the state with the Wisconsin Farmer Wellness Program. Jess, thanks for checking in. Spring, harvest, really any time on the farm, depending on what's going on, we encounter a lot of different stress. Sometimes we don't slow down and recognize what's happening to our bodies, to those around us when it comes to stress. You've got some tips for us on things that we might want to pay attention to, right?
Yes, yes. And like you said, it could be anything. It's the time of year. It's just the stressors that happen, whether it's the price of the things that are going up. You know, there's changes within our farms, whether someone's transitioning out and someone's transitioning in, or trying to find farm hands and keep them. So there's a lot of stresses that are happening, and I'm noticing that I'm getting more calls regarding just stress in general. And so I just want to share a couple of things to just keep in mind. And some of these things you might be thinking, well, this doesn't get rid of my stress. And it's correct. If the stuff I'm going to give you doesn't make the farmhand work harder or show up to work, it doesn't make, you know, the transition, you know, happen smoothly. But what it does do is it's about self-care so that you can free your mind a little bit to come up with maybe some creative solutions to whatever this, like, the stressor is. So the simple things, going back to like eating healthy, making sure you're eating. I'm not surprised by how many times I hear this, but I hear it a lot of, oh yeah, I usually end up skipping lunch. I didn't even realize I didn't even eat, right? And then I'm starving at night. Yeah, making sure you are eating, because that is the fuel for your body. Your brain does not work very well if you're hungry. There's actually an acronym that we use called HALT. Don't get too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, because we make bad decisions, right? So making sure you're eating, exercise, and you're probably thinking, I'm moving all day long, and you might be, but in exercise meaning more intentional, doing something you enjoy, right? Maybe it's riding a bike, something that you enjoy. It's not the actual physical labor you're doing during work. So focusing on that physical health. Again, something like sleep. if you're burning that candle at both ends, how good are you going to be at making decisions, especially when stressed and things pile up? So if I'm not getting sleep for a few nights, you know, when that other stressor comes in, I just piled it on. So trying to make sure you're taking care of your physical health. Another one people don't think of is limiting caffeine. Right? Most people are like, what? How do we do that? Well, and the reason you want to do it is because caffeine is obviously an upper, right? It makes us excited. It gives us energy. But if you're having anxiety and stress, you know what it does to that? It makes it worse, right? Because it's still increasing that within your body. And so limiting caffeine can be helpful. And I know you're thinking I still have to stay awake, which is true. But just being mindful of it. And then, of course, reaching out for support and help. It doesn't have to be a full-on therapy session. It could just be with a neighbor, the pastor, your friend, someone that you feel that you can confide in to just say, this is my stressors going on. Because what happens otherwise is it stays up in our head. And then that's pretty much it consumes us. And it's really hard to make a good decision. I like to describe it like we get horse blinders on. And it's all we can see is that stressor. And maybe the friend, the neighbor, whoever it is, the therapist, right, can see outside of that. And so getting help in that way by talking to someone, this all, again, doesn't mean that it helps the farmhand show up to work. It doesn't mean it helps you transition easier. What it does, though, is gives your brain the ability to be more creative and to come up with some solutions to the actual stressors then. So taking care of yourself so you can actually have a free mind to hopefully come up with solutions.
You know,
and that's what I'm going to share.
And the other thing is, it's not just about your physical well-being, those mental decisions. It gets to be safety too, Jess. We've got to remember, we're working around a high power equipment, a lot of weight, livestock. You need to make sure that you're sharp or you put yourself at real risk.
Absolutely. And everyone around you. And these are tips for everybody, right, Pam? I mean, it's even if you're the farmer, you're like, man, I'm noticing one of my farmhands or, you know, my kid or my spouse, they're really stressed out. How do I help them? Same tips, right? Making sure like, hey, did you eat lunch today? Did you get good breakfast? You look really tired. Can you take a nap this afternoon? Schedule something in. I'll take over whatever work you're doing to go take a nap. Helping the other folks, you know, and encouraging them to take care of themselves so that you're not hurting one another.
Jess Beauchamp along with us. Again, she is with the Wisconsin Farmer Wellness Program, giving us a couple tips that you can incorporate every day of your life to make sure that you're not only more productive, maybe a little friendlier to be around, but also operating more safely. You touched on one area, that being isolation, Jess. We're pounding out the hours because we're trying to finish planting or harvest has got to get done or calf is being delivered. You never know what the obstacle is going to be. The other thing that you pointed out is, we have learned to a certain extent to lean on one another. Maybe I don't have a neighbor that can commiserate with me or give me advice. You have helped to foster online support groups. And now when I say online, folks, that doesn't mean you've got to sit in front of a computer screen. It's a lot of different things. Can you explain those support groups, Jess, and how people can get engaged in that?
Absolutely. Yes. And this actually came out of our work very early on of people being isolated and calling in and not knowing who to talk to. And I was like, we need to get people connected. And so the support groups in the fall and winter months are offered twice a month. And then the rest of the year we do once a month just because, of course, everybody's so busy. They're at 8 p.m. So we're trying to catch most people when they're actually getting in for the night. And it's really meeting with fellow farmers, and it is online. You don't have to have your camera on if you don't want to. You can be on your phone, you can be in your truck. We have people still doing some work sometimes in the skid loader, and we're like, oh, there's so-and-so in the skid loader, right? But they're there to help each other, listen to each other, laugh with each other, and just share like concerns that more than just you have typically. And it's free. It's led by peer leaders, so fellow farmers. You know, I'm there in the background should mental health or substance use, if there's questions that come up. Sometimes I'll do like a topic because I'm noticing like a trend, right? There's a substance use, for instance, if it's coming up frequently, I might talk about what does that look like in yourself and what does that look like in someone else when it becomes a problem. But for the most part, it is just fellow farmers getting together and getting advice from one another and just sometimes just sharing kind of the heavy load. We all need somebody to at least talk to sometimes. And this is finding your community throughout Wisconsin, because we have people all throughout Wisconsin that are on these support group calls.
Well, you said what might have started off as a situation that needed to be dealt with, in some instances, has almost turned into a friendship.
Yes, absolutely. We know that I can tell just from some of the conversations that they definitely connect outside of the group. And it's just nice because there's so much, like, you can tell the friendship is developing because it's like, hey, tell us about, you said last time you were going on a trip somewhere. Tell us about that, right? People remember. And then it feels good when you come back next month and it's like, wow, you know, they're kind of checking in. And it's just, yeah, there's laughs. Yet it's also about things like grieving and things like, you know, heavy stuff that come up. But it's all about the support in the meeting and then just connecting with people around the state. I know some of them have driven and gotten together for like lunch or coffee because they're like, I just want to see you in person. And they connect in that way. And it's, again, all the farmers are, they're all farmers. So they know what's going on. And yeah.
That's an excellent example of how we've evolved, shall we say. Now we've got new technology that's helping you to meet people that may face some of the same challenges that you are. It may be just one conversation, or like she said, it may turn into regular conversations. Again, Jess, can you explain how people can tap in to those support group opportunities? Where can they find some of that information if they want to get engaged?
Yes. So to sign up for the support groups, if you're going to the DACAP website, there's the Farmer Wellness Program. There's a specific page for that. It tells you how to get a hold of the 24/7 hotline if you want that. It tells you how to get telecounseling. And also on there is the support groups. And it'll tell you like the date and time. And you get a lovely email if you've signed up from Karen over at the Farm Center to remind you, hey, this group is going on tonight. And so you can go up and you can sign up for many of them. You can sign up for one, just say, you know, I want to see what this is like. There's no pressure. You can show up the first time and just, you know, have your screen blacked out and just listen to say, like, what is going on? What do they talk about? Is this for me? I will tell you, when most people show up one time, they end up coming back because they're like, yep, this was for me. And if you have something to talk about, you can share it. Like, it's nice. There's no judgment. It's a judgment-free zone.
That is beautiful. Jess Beauchamp along with us again. We're so thrilled to catch up with her and all the work that's being done through the Wisconsin Farmer Wellness Program. As she said, those support groups are available to you. Just jump online and find one that's going to be occurring interesting to you. Just go to the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection website. Go to the Wisconsin Farm Center site, and you'll be able to access the information there. Jess Beauchamp along with us. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. We all know that generic drugs are cheaper than name brand drugs. But I'm going to make a confession. For a long time, I thought generics were a less good version of a name brand, you know, like dollar store versions of cornflakes. But it turns out that generic drugs are made with the exact same chemical formula as the name brands. They have to be to even be on the market. When drug companies invent a new drug, they get a 20-year patent in America that gives them exclusive rights to sell their Zoloft or Ambien or whatever. But after 20 years, other companies can sell generic versions. Drugs that don't use the famous name but are chemically the same and follow all the same FDA rules. To get these savings, just ask your doctor to prescribe you a generic. Most of the time, they will. Now, your pharmacist usually can't just swap in the generic when you're picking up your pills, so you do have to ask your doctor before you leave the doctor's office. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know, exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like the
it's only glass.
It's only
tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media radio network.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time when we're back in the studios of Madison celebrating our Civic Media Scotty Summer Text to Win win. Join us. All that and more. Review of the weekend's news. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. The Shaw. WAUK.
North of Burnett, they saw just over a half inch on Sunday morning. Mark in Fitchburg saw 0.2 inch on Sunday. And we even had a reporter send us the U.S. Drought Monitor link. So thank you for that. I'm taking a look at it now. Wisconsin is not seeing any drought conditions. And now let's take a look at what's to come in the forecast. It's time now for our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. Stu, it was hot and it was sticky when I was coming in before the sunrise this morning. What can I expect when I leave the building in the daylight?
Not going to change much, Stephanie. Still going to be hot and sticky. That summery weather really settling in. I've got a few rainfall reports I'd like to share, too. In fact, the Madison Airport, 6,200 hundredths of an inch yesterday. The Eau Claire Airport, 3,100 hundredths of an inch. That was La Crosse at 3,100 hundredths. Eau Claire, 77 hundredths, 85 hundredths at Wausau. I had over 7/10 in my gauge here right near Eden, south of Fond du Lac. A lot of rain has been falling, 19 hundredths at Racine. There's a frontal boundary holding up in northwest Wisconsin, not going to drop very far east or southeast today, and that's where rain is out around that front from northwest Iowa, southwest right up into central Minnesota, just into the western edge of Wisconsin. La Crosse, Sparta, Toma, Neillsville, Whitehall, Eau Claire, all under a severe thunderstorm watch till 10 this morning. The far northwest edge of Wisconsin under a flood watch this morning. That includes Rice Lake and areas to the west and into Minnesota, because we expect that that front's going to try to drop a little further southeast. An upper level disturbance moving up from the south, feeding into that rain. Heavy rains in south central Minnesota this morning, and that's going to be the possibility. Rain more likely in the west. Not such a big threat further east and southeast. Very warm, very sticky conditions today, tomorrow. Of course, where that rain is in northwest Wisconsin, not as hot. So you get a little break from heat, but you get a lot of extra moisture, too. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. And remember, if you don't enter, you can't win. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Rural Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
If you're interested in a rewarding career with a strong Wisconsin company, Rural Mutual Insurance is looking to add to their growing team of successful employees and agents. Apply online today at ruralmutual.com/careers.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
So the western edge of Wisconsin's got to watch out for some flooding potentially, and then also some thunderstorms. What else do you have for us in the forecast, Stu?
Well, of course, there's that heat and humidity. Mostly sunny skies for most except far western Wisconsin, and a hot day. A lot of upper 80s and low 90s. The heat indexes will tell us it could be mid or upper 90s in some areas. That chance of rain in the west this morning, a slight chance almost anywhere then later this afternoon or just toward evening, and winds out of the south about 5 to 10. Any rain chance ending tonight, partly cloudy, not all that cool, low and mid 70s. South wind still 5 to 15. Sunny and hot Tuesday, except in northwest Wisconsin, where some showers or even thunderstorms may develop in the afternoon. A small chance further east and south later in the day Tuesday. Temps again, upper 80s, low 90s, and south winds gusting near 30. Rain chance a bit more likely Tuesday night. And then Wednesday, showers, could be some thunderstorms in the afternoon. Still sunny and hot for a lot in the upper 80s, Stephanie. A little cooler with clouds and rain again in the northwest, but I'd expect some rain and wet conditions getting this week underway.
Thanks, Stu. We'll catch you back here again tomorrow morning. That is your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. You can visit compeer.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL HHS or the U.S. government.
It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ plus communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Bob Neal and Edgar Hellum fell in love in the 1930s. But they also fell in love with Mineral Point, Wisconsin, where they worked together to rescue and restore buildings set to be demolished. The gay couple gave Cornish language names to those properties. The best known may be Pendarvis, a piece of history from the mid-1800s when Mineral Point was a lead mining town. Their success during the Great Depression is considered the start of what's turned the area into an art and tourism hub. It's a story of love and preservation, and you can still experience it today thanks to Bob and Edgar. I'm Terry Barr.
Earl Ingram.
This relationship that I'm having with my phone, it's a one-way trip to hell. Al from Milwaukee.
What's her name?
Who?
This person you have this relationship with.
My phone. Man, my wife is listening. What are you talking about, man?
I teach healthy relationships, so you can enroll in my class. It starts at 10 o'clock.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
CBS News Brief. Powerful winds, hot temperatures, and dry brush are fanning the flames of a massive wildfire northwest of Los Angeles. This man lives in Santa Clarita.
It's been really smoky. You could smell it really bad. Like it's right down the street.
At least 1,200 people have been evacuated. So far, no homes damaged. A heat wave is setting in Midwest to Northeast. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
Basically, from the Ohio River Valley to the Northeast, we are seeing record temperatures all throughout the week.
A tactical respite paving the way for more aid to flow into central Gaza. CBS's Chris Livesay reports from Tel Aviv.
The pause of the fighting falls short of the ceasefire, but if the pause holds, it could at least address some of the overwhelming needs of Gazans surging in recent weeks as Israeli forces target the remaining Hamas brigades in Rafah.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Sapp. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Mercury Marine is laying off 252 workers in Fond du Lac and making what it calls workforce adjustments at its other facilities. The job cuts will happen on July 26th. The company blames low sales. Mercury Marine is the biggest employer in Fond du Lac County. A U.S. police officer on January 6th says Donald Trump is unfit to be president. Harry Dunn is now campaigning for President Biden. He tells Civic Media's Earl Ingram that Trump's recent felony convictions should also disqualify him.
As a convicted felon, he's no longer able to possess firearms, but that's all right. He has the code to the nuclear weapon. Another individual may be disqualified from a job because they're a felon. He's now running on the fact that he is convicted.
Dunn campaigned for Biden in Madison on Thursday and Eau Claire on Friday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Brewers head west. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a series against the Angels in Anaheim tonight. On Thursday, they play the Padres. 7 games in 7 days. Center fielder Blake Perkins.
Yeah, very busy road trip. I feel like we got 10, 12 guys who are from California, so it's going to be a lot of family and friends, so trying to have to balance that with winning every day.
Perkins with a spectacular throw from center to home plate to end yesterday with a 5-4 win over the Reds, manager Pat Murphy.
We're not great, but that's the way you play championship ball, you know what I mean? We got thrown out first stolen base. What did we do? Kept running. That's just kind of like an attitude.
NBA Finals Game 5 tonight in Boston. The Celtics up 3-1 after losing by 38 points Friday in Dallas. Drew Holiday.
I think it's a little bit of everything. I think it's tactical. I think it's mental, being a more tested team. But I think it's about locking in for another battle in Game 5.
That's the Celtics' Drew Holiday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday on Up North News Radio, Megan Rowe from Opportunity Wisconsin talks about their work to remind voters of candidates' real records, not just their rhetoric.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, 88 our high. Slight chance of an afternoon storm. Partly cloudy, 72 tonight. Mostly sunny to the mid-80s on your Tuesday. Wednesday, sunshine with a high near 86. Again, an afternoon storm. For Thursday, mostly sunny and 81. Right now, it's 68.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK. And on the Civic Media app.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's, like, testosterone and overload and whatever the, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, Don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Welcome back on a Monday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff, and you're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. It's going to be a hot one today in South Central Wisconsin. Expect partly cloudy skies, a stray shower or thunderstorm, and highs of 92 degrees. Alongside Lake Michigan, the high ticks up to 93 degrees. And on the western side of the state, around La Crosse, thunderstorms are likely this morning. Then you'll see scattered thunderstorms and possibly some severe storms this afternoon. Highs near 85. Today in the old Farmer's Almanac, it says June 17th is a good day for demo, meaning taking down any buildings or starting maybe a remodel project in the home. It's also a good day to mow the lawn if you can dodge the raindrops and work with livestock. If you're doing any of that in today's heat, you're going to want to take some precautions. Stay hydrated with water. Stay cool with light clothing. Get your skin wet if you need to. Protect your skin from the sun to help you stay cool and also to prevent burns. A big hat, sunglasses, and sunscreen will help. Don't forget to let us know what's happening in the barn or in the field today through our talk text line. You can call or text us at 877-301-3276. That's 877-301-FARM. You can even keep us in the loop on how you're celebrating June Dairy Month. Our own Charity Seebecker might have some ideas. She talks to Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin.
As we celebrate June Dairy Month, we recognize the creamy goodness that fills our glasses and plates. But amidst the festivities, there's a business side to dairy. And Tina Peterson, Director of Wisconsin Communications for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, brings us insights into the world of dairy checkoff. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report. And in this month's check-in with Dairy Checkoff Chat, Tina shed some light on how they measure their return on checkoff investments and how you can see your dollars at work.
We actually have several ways that we return that investment that farmers put into checkoff. One is that we're really transparent with our programming and our goals and objectives. So we know exactly what our outcomes are supposed to be. And we evaluate all of our programs and our postmortems. And if dairy farmers are interested in finding out what those results are, they can always view those updates on our website, wisconsindairy.org. Or we publish them every year for all of the farmers across Wisconsin in our annual report.
And it is June Dairy Month, a perfect time to celebrate our dairy farmers. My favorite time of the year because it means I can eat as much cheese and ice cream as I want and no one can yell at me. But what are some other dairy product trends that farmers should be excited about this month?
Well, I agree. There's always a good time for ice cream at breakfast at those events that happen all across the state in June. But I think it's really important that we take a look at where we were and where we are now. And so as a dairy farmer, they should be really excited that per capita consumption of dairy is obviously on the rise annually. And that means that marketing and promotion efforts are working what they're supposed to be doing. And so right now, real dairy sales are 20 times higher than plant-based alternatives, and over 96% of U.S. households bought real dairy in 2023. So lots of things to celebrate. In Wisconsin, we focus on cheese. Real dairy cheese actually outsells those plant-based alternatives by 144 times. So people really do love real dairy. They trust what their farmers are doing, and we should be really excited about dairy consumption.
Do you know just how much does the average person eat of cheese?
Actually, it's at an all-time high, and the actual number is 42 pounds per person in 2022. So that means that, obviously, people are really appreciating all the work that those farmers put into making that high-quality milk in Wisconsin, and cheese is obviously something that we dream about here.
Absolutely, and Wisconsin is America's dairyland for a reason. What success have we seen here locally?
So we are America's Dairyland because I honestly, hands down, believe it is the best place to dairy in the world. And we have phenomenal farmers that are out there, you know, embracing technology, embracing innovation, taking their heritage. They've got a great pride in multi-generational farms. In fact, 95% of dairy farms in Wisconsin are family-owned. And on-the-farm milk production has grown 29% since checkoff began in 1983. So that really shows that, number one, they're growing their farms, but they're also taking in and utilizing new practices that help us be more sustainable, help farmers be more profitable, but also that, you know, cheese sales have grown. So that shows that those marketing and promotion dollars are growing demand for Wisconsin milk through cheese.
The one thing I often hear farmers say is that they're not seeing the marketing in Wisconsin. So where should they be looking for it?
Well, this is the perfect time of the year for them to ask that. In every media market across the state in June, we have over 57 dairy farm families featured on local news stations telling their dairy story and encouraging consumers to really celebrate June Dairy Month. But outside of Wisconsin is actually where we spend a majority of our efforts. We know that in Wisconsin, we appreciate our dairy farmers and our dairy products, but we really need to grow demand outside of Wisconsin. In fact, 90% of the milk in Wisconsin is made into cheese. And 90% of that cheese is sold outside of Wisconsin. So growing those export markets, growing demand across the United States, whether it's out in Washington or down in Florida, those are the areas that we really target to make sure we're growing demand.
And you guys have had some really big success with certain campaigns, correct?
Absolutely. So we obviously know and love our dairy products, and we find the best times to showcase them. So one example is we work in partnership with Allison Dairyland, and just this year alone, in 12 days, we reached about 60 million people. So that's about twice the population of Texas just in one 12-day campaign.
If anybody has questions about how they can learn a little bit more or even just celebrate June Dairy Month, beat the heat of the summer with dairy, how can they learn more?
We encourage consumers to make sure that you are visiting wisconsindairy.org and wisconsincheese.com. Those are your great places to find recipes, to find inspiration, and also be able to locate a dairy breakfast so you can get out and visit with farmers and learn what they're doing every single day to make those high-quality dairy products. When you go to the store, always look for the Proudly Wisconsin badge.
Tina Peterson, Director of Wisconsin Communications for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, along with us for this month's Check-In with Dairy Checkoff. From the rich taste of ice cream to the comforting warmth of cheese melted on a burger, June Dairy Month is a celebration of all things dairy. So grab a glass of milk, indulge in some yogurt, and join us as we raise a toast to the dairy delights that make this month truly special. Looking for more ways to join the celebration? Visit wisconsindairy.org. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Before we take a look at commodity prices on a Monday morning, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has confirmed the presence of the highly pathogenic avian influenza across 90 dairy herds in 12 states. Wisconsin has not had a case, but there is a new rule in place. If you'd like to show dairy cattle at the county fair or other show, your cows will need to test negative for the influenza A virus. As the virus spreads, the National Association of the State Departments of Agriculture is pushing Congress to increase funding for animal disease prevention. We hear from RJ Carney, the Senior Director of Public Policy with NASDA.
Absolutely. Resources, resources, resources. Looking at the Farm Bill and also just appropriations, it is critical that Congress understand the importance of funding emerging animal diseases. NASDA strongly supports that. We work very closely with our state veterinary officers to ensure that they have the resources necessary to combat and also to build a path forward for any new diseases that come. So this is a strong message that we're sharing with members of Congress and also the administration.
RJ Carney is the Senior Director of Public Policy with the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture. Wisconsin specifically has been involved in this conversation as well. The Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection Secretary Randy Romanski serves as Secretary and Treasurer of NASDA. And at their policy conference earlier this year, he amplified the need for a unified farm bill that provides funding for animal disease response. From Chicago, we are starting the work week off in the red. Cash corn is trading down 4 cents at 4.46 a bushel. December new crop corn is down 3¾ cents at 4.66½. Cash soybeans are down 14¼ cents at 11.65½. November new crop soybeans are down 11¼ cents, trading at 11.38½. And July new crop wheat is trading down 13¾ cents at 5.99 a bushel. The July Class 3 milk contract is down 3 cents at $20.64 a hundredweight. The August contract is down 4 cents at $21.10. On the close Friday, barrel cheese was down a quarter of a cent at $2.02. The 40-pound block cheese was down a penny and a quarter at $1.97. And AA butter was unchanged from Thursday at $3.09 a pound. For another Wisconsin commodity, the news is sweeter. The maple syrup production numbers are in for Wisconsin. This year's sap season got an early start with a heat wave in late January. Producers were able to take advantage of that bonus sap if they tapped early enough. Wisconsin maple syrup producers harvested 458,000 gallons. That is up 1,000 gallons from last year. Wisconsin ranks fourth in the nation for maple syrup production. In other news, if you've spent any time outside over this weekend or if you plan to this week, watch for ticks. The Marshfield Clinic Research Institute is collecting ticks found in Wisconsin for a new research project. They're looking to help prevent diseases such as Lyme disease. So far, the Institute has identified more than 3,200 ticks. These were submitted through their citizen science program that started in April. Most of these ticks were common, your dog, wood, and deer ticks. But scientists also identified ticks that are typically located in the southern part of the country, such as the Lone Star tick. Scientists are working to determine the extent of the spread and the potential health effects. If you'd like to participate by sending in ticks that you find, you can visit the Marshfield Clinic Research Institute online. Hey, don't go anywhere. We're sitting down with Wisconsin 4-H next. They've got new programming that's boosting membership numbers in rural and urban areas. Stick around.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A voter suppression bill aimed at students and younger voters in New Hampshire has moved forward in the state's legislature. It requires proof of citizenship papers from every registering voter and could disenfranchise thousands. HB 1569 would end decades of allowing a citizen registering who can't immediately access citizenship papers to use a sworn affidavit instead. It also requires narrow options for photo ID when voting, also with no opportunity for a sworn affidavit. There's almost no evidence of abuse of the sworn affidavit system, for which lying brings fines or prison. The bill is the latest in a decade of GOP bills to target thousands of New Hampshire student voters who are domiciled in the state most of the year and may register and vote if they qualify. GOP attempts to change domicile rules, end same-day registration, and require in-state tuition have all failed in the legislature or the courts. Such a bill doesn't just affect students, however. A new survey of the Brennan Center for Justice suggests that 21 million voting-eligible Americans don't have ready access to proof of citizenship. HB 1569 is one of a number around the country targeting specific populations, including Black, Brown, and Native Americans. Governor Chris Sununu has not said whether he'll sign the bill. Litigation is likely if he does. Find out more and the groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's, like, testosterone and overload and whatever, testosterone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Coming up on the show, Maggie's back in the saddle, and we talk about Biden's top 100. This week, we're talking about the environment.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
She walks us through the highlights of the data.
We're continuing to work towards annual growth in the program, but it is higher than it was pre-pandemic, which was exciting. And but we have a ways to go. There was a many years that 40,000 was our regular membership over a decade ago, and we absolutely want to get back to that point.
We've talked about this before where, yeah, the pandemic kind of brought numbers down, but you are on a positive trajectory upwards. What about number of chapters? Is that growing?
That is growing. We're adding more and more 4-H clubs and groups throughout the state of Wisconsin. And so we're over 1,000 right now. 1,108 is how many we had last year. And adding new 4-H clubs is one of our growth strategies to ensure the young people have an opportunity to join a club that meets their interests and works with their lives.
Pinpoint a reason why. Why do you think we're seeing a positive trajectory in the membership in 4-H?
I think we are absolutely seeing membership growth because of the enthusiastic volunteers that are in our counties. Our staff in our counties are doing some creative programming, but just providing opportunities for young people, introducing them to 4-H is a big part of it. We've had a great uptick in our first year members, as well as we track what we call first generation 4-H members. So that is a young person who joins 4-H whose parents weren't in 4-H or grandparents. And we know that that takes a little bit more encouragement sometimes, and sharing the 4-H story to those young people versus young people like me and my husband who come from, I believe the term is bleed green, a family where for generations our families were part of 4-H.
Let's talk about the story of 4-H, because this organization has been around in Wisconsin for more than 100 years. It started out reaching rural communities, but it's come a long ways from that.
It absolutely has. I love the story of 4-H. Over 100 years ago, when it first started, it was 3-H, by the way, and I forgot what year, but the fourth H was added. It was started with corn clubs for boys. So 4-H has always been the youth program of our land-grant universities. So it's always been tied to the research of the universities. And at that time, there were some developments in crop production for corn in particular. And the university was trying to share these wonderful new ways of being and producing corn with our farming families. And they decided to do that through our young people. So they started corn clubs for boys and taught the new production strategies to those youth. And then they'd have contests, right, to see who could produce the best, you know, the most corn, the highest quality corn. Over the years, that then also turned into canning clubs for girls. So once again, some of us remember the home economic days of extension. They were learning how to safely and doing research on how to safely can our home goods. And so they started canning clubs for girls to teach them these methods. And once again, had contests and different ways of judging their work. And then it went so on and so on. Now, 4-H is way more than corn clubs for boys and canning clubs for girls now. We know that. And so over the decades and generations, more opportunities were added to the 4-H program to once again meet the needs of our young people. And of course, our young people have to be interested in what they're doing. 4-H has to be fun. It has to be engaging. And it's so it kept evolving over the years. And now we are at a point of time where 4-H looks different throughout our communities, and there's so many opportunities for young people to become part of it.
And make no mistake, animal agriculture products still rank in the top 10 for what the youth are interested in 4-H. But what are some of those other programs that have moved up the rankings that's drawing in that new interest or those first gen 4-H'ers?
Absolutely, yes. Agriculture is still very much a strong part of our 4-H program. Our number one project this last year was our arts project, and we had 6,492 members as part of that project. And if we think about that, that makes a lot of sense, right? Expressing ourselves through art is something that a lot of young people are interested in. Photography is our second. But then we have things like shooting sports. Archery was our 10th most popular project, but I would say shooting sports is an area that is really been wonderful to see the diversity of young people who are engaged, especially in archery, and all the volunteers out there that lead certified archery programs for 4-H members. They're in every county. That's a really good example of what is of interest to our youth.
Jessica Jens along with us, the Wisconsin 4-H state program leader with the UW-Madison Division of Extension. They're celebrating an 8% jump in 4-H membership year over year. Jessica is also predicting a decade of growth in the 4-H program, but she says it can't happen without passionate volunteers to help lead local 4-H clubs. If you're interested in being a 4-H leader or helping students with their 4-H projects, you can search Wisconsin 4-H online. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weichert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
Young and beginning farmers want a piece of the next farm bill. That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Young and beginning farmers are hoping to catch a break with a new farm bill. Witnesses at a recent Senate Ag Subcommittee hearing suggested the current farm program tends to favor long-time farmers. Witness Kevin Lusher is a Florida dairy farmer and chair of the American Farm Bureau Federation's Young Farmers and Ranchers Committee.
The future of American dairy farming depends on the investment in the next generation. By increasing access to credit and enhancing risk management programs, we can ensure that the next generations of farmers have the tools and resources we need to thrive.
Minnesota beginning farmer Tessa Parks told senators that a farm bill that helps beginning farmers helps everyone.
The right farm bill is not only one that establishes a sound foundation for beginning farmers like me, but for all of our rural, suburban, and urban neighbors. One that improves the farm safety net, takes climate change head-on, and that ensures food and nutrition security for all.
Minnesota Senator Tina Smith, the subcommittee chair, said current farm policy falls short for young and beginning farmers.
This, in a nutshell, is why we need to invest in the next generation of farmers, so that this country's agriculture sector continues to work. This is a matter of national security, of food security, and the strength and vitality of rural America.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee Journal Sentinel music critic Piet Levy, who joins the show to discuss all things Summerfest. We will also discuss the resurgence of the summer box office.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
One of the state's biggest and best farmers markets is right here in Waukesha. Join thousands of your neighbors this Saturday morning between 8 and noon at the corner of St. Paul and Madison along the Fox River. Fresh produce, crafts, flowers, food, and gift ideas of all kinds are on display and on sale. We'll check in live each Saturday morning on WAUK, too. Plan to stock up this Saturday at the Waukesha Farmers Market and stop by our WAUK tent to say hi and register to win a brand new Logger bike. We can't wait to see you.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on